We arrive travellers on life's journey, seekers of meaning, healing and truth. Numerous are our origins, paths and destinations. Yet happily, our ways have joined together today. Spirit of life, source of love, may our joining be a blessing. May our time together bring comfort to those in pain, hope to those in despair, peace to those in fear. May it bring wisdom and guidance for all of our journeys. And through this joining be for just a moment in time, may we embrace this and every instant of our lives. These opening words by Andy Pakula welcome all who have gathered this morning for our Sunday service. We are a bit thin on the ground here at Essex Church due to the carnival happening here at Notting Hill. So extra welcome to those who've been able to make it, and welcome to those who are joining us online from far and wide. And a special welcome to our friends from Meadrow Chapel, Godalming Unitarians, who are joining us this morning. Whoever you are, however you are, wherever you are welcome here this morning just as you are. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Janine Powell, and I'm currently chair of the congregation, although my role will be changing again soon. This morning's service is titled Everyday Pilgrimage, on wandering, getting lost and finding your way, a theme chosen by our guest preacher, the Reverend Sheena Gabriel, who is joining us via Zoom today. We're delighted to have you with us again, Sheena, and we're really looking forward to hearing your reflections. But before we go any further, let's take a moment to get settled and centered and ready to worship. We make this hour sacred by our presence and intention. We've each set aside this time to be here together and attend to the life of the Spirit. We've temporarily laid down our to-do lists and put away everything else that is clamoring for our attention. So let's take a few slow breaths and be here now. Let's light our chalice flame now, as we do each and every week. This simple ritual which connects us in solidarity with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists the world over, and reminds us of the proud and historic progressive religious tradition of which we are a part. As we travel the paths that our lives reveal to us, we are often not sure of the way, the distance or destination. Nevertheless, we have each other. Let us look to one another for wisdom, grateful for each other's companionship and seeking support when we have lost hope. We light our chalice this morning to signify that we are willing to take the journey together, honouring the inner light within each of us. Let's sing together now. Our first hymn is number 360 in the Grey Book, Here We Have Gathered. For those joining us on Zoom, the words will be up on your screen to sing along at home. So feel free to stand or sit as you prefer as we sing hymn number 360. Please be seated. So let's take those joys and concerns into an extended time of prayer now. This prayer is partly based on some words by Thomas Rhodes. And you might first want to adapt your position for comfort or close your eyes or soften your gaze. There might be a posture that helps you to feel more prayerful, whatever works for you. Do whatever you need to do to get into the right state of body and mind for us to pray together, to be fully present here and now in this sacred time and space. With ourselves, with each other, and with that which is both within us and beyond us. Spirit of life, God of all love, in whom we live and move and have our being, we turn our full attention to you, the light within and without, as we tune into the depths of this life and the greater wisdom to which and through which we are all intimately connected. Be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and stillness at the very center of our being. Holy Spirit of life and love, you who are our source and ultimate destiny, lead us this day on a crooked path. Often we are in so much of a hurry, taking the direct route to our goal, not allowing ourselves to be distracted, sometimes too direct with one another in all we seek to do, to be, and to have. But we see that no river takes a direct path to the sea. Trees and bushes sprout crooked limbs. Birds, beasts, and insects meander in their search for food, shelter, or a mate. We lose so much when we take the direct route, the interstate which bypasses the quaint town, the chance to stop and say, "Hello, how are you?" and really listen to the reply. So lead us on the crooked path, past wandering streams and crooked trees, following our heart's desire, not just duty's demands. For the crooked path also leads us home. Spirit of life and love, be with those who are lost this day. Be a companion to all who travel far from home. Be a guide at the crossroads, breath in weariness, protection in danger, shade in heat. Be consolation in discouragement, a song in the heart, and courage in dark places. May all who traverse winding roads find sanctuary and refreshment, so that through your strength, those who wander may arrive safely at the end of the road, and enriched with grace, find a homecoming filled with peace. And in a quiet moment now, let us look back over the week just gone to take stock of it all, the many everyday cares and concerns of our own lives, and concentric circles of concern rippling outwards until they enfold the entire world and all those lives whose touch our own. Let's take a while to sit quietly in prayer and reflection with that which weighs heavy on our hearts this day. And let us also take a moment to notice all the good that has happened in the past week. Moments of uplift and delight, beauty and pleasure, all those acts of generosity and kindness, the hopes and dreams and possibilities that are bubbling up and reminding us that we're alive. There's lots to be grateful for. So let's take a little while to sit quietly in reflection and prayer and give thanks. Spirit of life, God of all love, as this time of prayer comes to a close, we offer up our joys and concerns, our hopes and fears, our beauty and brokenness, and we call on you for insight, healing, and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and be our best selves, using our unique gifts in the service of love, justice, and peace. Amen. It's time to sing again. Our next hymn is number 106 in the Purple Book, Who Would True Valor See? But it's more commonly known as To Be a Pilgrim. The words will be on your screens as usual, and feel free to stand or sit as you're able for hymn number 106.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you again, friends at Kensington Unitarians, and of course, dear friends from my one-time congregation, Mead Road Chapel. It's lovely to have you all with us today, whether you're on Zoom or in the church. Our reading is from a book by Phil Cosino, The Art of Pilgrimage. and reflecting on words by Rebecca Armstrong. In the spirit of the trickster, theologian Rebecca Armstrong relishes the advice given by the mythologist Joseph Campbell to a pilgrim one cold day in January 1972 after a lecture in Chicago. Armstrong's family would offer him hospitality whenever he was in town, and he would reciprocate by taking them out for dinner. And this is Armstrong's account. The heartiness of the beef bourguignon had improved everyone's spirits, and we fought our way cheerfully through the snow to the rather shabby WMCA. That evening, Joseph Campbell lectured to a small but enthusiastic audience on the nature of the goddess. After the lecture, he was besieged by those who had pressing questions. He listened and answered graciously to all. I was lingering nearby, still trying to digest the immense ideas from his lecture, as well as the remainder of the dinner, and overheard the following encounter. A woman in her late 30s, early 40s, approached Joe and, speaking very rapidly with great emotion, began to outline her plan for going to Greece to find the spirit of the goddess that you spoke of tonight. And she pulled out a notebook and showed Joe her itinerary. She had made precise calculations of the best times to visit every major cultural attraction, and where and when she would make her salutations to the various deities whose statues remained. "Do you think this is sufficient?" she pressed. "Do you think I'll find the spirit of the goddess?" Joe had been staring at her while a parade of mixed emotions played over his features. Now he took her one free hand in his and with great kindness and solemnity said, "Dear lady, I sincerely hope that all does not go as planned." With that, he slipped into his overcoat and we left the building. Sitting in the back seat of the car on the drive home, I could barely contain my curiosity. Finally, mustering all the courage of my 17 years, I leaned over and said, "Mr. Campbell, that woman going to Greece, why did you tell her you hoped things did not go as planned?" Joe paused, then threw back his head and laughed with a mystic's glee. "How will the gods ever find her when she has done everything in her power to make sure that they never will?" he exclaimed, then added very soberly, "Unless you leave room for serendipity, how can the divine enter in? The beginning of the adventure of finding yourself is to lose your way." Reflections by Rebecca Armstrong.
We'll hear again from Sheena in a little while. For now, we're moving into a time of meditation. And I'm going to share a short poem by David Wagoner. It's called Lost. And it's based on Native American wisdom, guidance for moments when we feel lost in the forest of life. The poem will take us into about 3 minutes of silence, which will end with the sound of a bell. Then we'll hear some music from George to continue the meditative mood. So let's each do what we need to do to get comfortable. Adjust your position if you need to. Put your feet flat on the floor to ground yourself. Maybe soften your gaze or close your eyes. I invite you to get settled into your body and watch the rhythm of your breath. As we always say, these words are an offering. Feel free to use this time to meditate in your own way. Stand still. The trees ahead and bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here, and you must treat it as a powerful stranger, must ask permission to know it and be known. The forest breathes. Listen. It answers. I have made this place around you. If you leave it, you may come back again, saying, here. No two trees are the same to Raven. No two branches are the same to Wren. If what a tree or a bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you.
The first service I ever gave at Godalming Unitarian Chapel, perhaps 24 years ago, some of the Godalming folk may have been there, included that reading about Joseph Campbell with the punchline, "Unless you leave room for serendipity, how can the divine enter in? The beginning of the adventure of finding yourself is to lose your way." Now, some of you may be intrepid walkers or travellers who have exciting tales to tell of wandering off beaten tracks and the wonderful or terrifying adventures that awaited. Not me. I'm an armchair traveller, and even on holidays I stick to short, safe paths, and I've rarely gotten lost in a big way when walking, and only a few times driving, but that's simply because I don't venture far. We'll leave all the driving to hubby. But there are certainly times when I've been lost on my journey through life. When I left the path of my childhood faith, I wandered in the wilderness for years until the winding path led me to Godalming Unitarians. Leaving my first marriage was as terrifying as being lost in an alien landscape. I've lost my way navigating illness, enduring dark nights of the soul when moving on from jobs. And at such times, I've generally found those words of Campbell to be true, at least in retrospect. At the last service I led for Kensington folks, about 10 months ago, I spoke of waiting for the invisible tug of a slender thread to lead me on as I tried to discern the shape of future ministry and where me and hubby Rob might move to. Well, I'm still waiting for that tug, and having to accept that sometimes prolonged periods of feeling lost are part of life. As inner pilgrims, we can consult our maps, whether that's sacred scriptures or the guidebooks or experiences of other pilgrims. We can prepare for storms and hone our spiritual muscles. But sometimes, despite all our preparations, we find ourselves lost in that dark wood described by Dante at the start of his Divine Comedy, where he says, "In the middle of the journey of our life, I came to myself in a dark wood where the direct way was lost." It is a hard thing to speak of, how wild, harsh, impenetrable that wood was, so that thinking of it recreates the fear. It is scarcely less bitter than death. But in order to tell of the good that I found there, I must tell of the other things I saw. I cannot rightly say how I entered it. I was so full of sleep at the point where I abandoned the true way. Dante spends a fearful night in the darkness, then finds himself at the foot of a hill bathed with the morning sunlight, and so tries to continue his journey. He's then confronted by three beasts who block his way and drive him back. Just as Dante is losing hope, a figure approaches, the poet Virgil, who tells him he cannot continue on that path, there is no way ahead, but offers to be his guide. Sometimes, when we're lost or the path we're on seems blocked, like Dante, perhaps all we can do is wait to be guided by another. Joyce Rupp, in her book, Dear Heart, Come Home, The Path of Midlife Spirituality, talks of getting lost as a common feature of midlife, when our usual pattern of navigating no longer works. She recalls a wilderness retreat where a forest ranger named Ferguson offers the hikers this advice. "If you get lost, don't try to keep finding the way out. Go a short way off the trail by a tree. Wait for someone to come and show you the way home. And whatever you do, don't panic." The ranger assured them that he and his colleagues knew the paths well and would find the explorers. Rupp found this advice challenging, but years later realized its wisdom, not only for hikers, but for midlife journeyers. She writes, I have gotten lost in the mystery of who I am. I have needed a wise companion to help me find the way home to my true self. I had to learn how to trust another with my lostness. Sometimes this wise companion was a close friend, sometimes a skilled therapist or spiritual director. Always it has been a turning to my wise companion, God, the one who says to me, when you get lost, stop, wait, trust. I know the way. I will find you and lead you out. Our natural default when lost is often to keep moving, but that can just perpetuate our lostness. And sometimes we have no choice but to stop and wait. Perhaps some of you have seen the film based on Bill Bryson's book, A Walk in the Woods, a funny biopic about his decision in his 60s, where he's bored of his predictable life and he decides to hike the Appalachian Trail, which runs near his home in New Hampshire. His wife objects, citing the calamities befalling others on the trail, but she finally concedes on condition he find himself a traveling companion. All Bryson's friends decline, except for Stephen Katz, an unfit, recovering alcoholic, as little prepared for trekking as Bryson. These two unlikely pilgrims set off and have many adventures. And 3 months in, barely halfway through the trail, they wander into a restricted area for experienced hikers only. Bill trips and pulls his companion off a steep, rocky cliff, and they find themselves perched on a ledge, no way up, no way down. They have no choice but to spend the night there and hope to be found. And as they wait, they reflect on their lives and mortality. Just as getting lost can often propel us to ask the big questions and reassess what's most important in our life. In the morning, thankfully, they are rescued by more experienced hikers. Just so in our dark nights, sometimes all we can do is wait for the dawn, hold up with our traveling companions who are perhaps as clueless as we are, trusting that help will come. There are many ways we get lost. We meet the love of our life and end up divorced. We live a healthy lifestyle and get sick. We pursue our dream job and end up redundant. We search for God and find only silence. As a society, a nation, a world thrown off course by COVID-19 and all that's unraveled since, the climate crisis, the war in Ukraine, political, social upheaval, surely as a human species, we have lost our way. And in this time of collective crisis, we might rightly say, it's not enough to sit back and wait to be rescued. Of course, we need to take decisive action to try and find a way through our predicament. But we should not be afraid to admit feeling overwhelmed, nor ashamed to ask for directions, whether from wise elders or spiritual forces, which I believe can come to our aid if we but ask with true humility. I wonder what it is about our seeming reluctance to ask for directions. Now, it's a gender stereotype, and I don't know how true it is, but a newspaper article a few years ago suggested that only 6% of men surveyed would ask for directions or consult a map when driving. With sat-nav, of course, there's less need to ask, but of course, sat-navs are not infallible. Both roadmaps and sat-navs need updating, just like our inner maps need updating, as familiar routes and landmarks are bypassed or demolished. When we're lost, we can wait for help. We can ask for directions, and we can remember we're in good company. Barbara Taylor Brown, in her book, An Altar of the World, writes about the practice of getting lost. And she reminds us from Hebrew scripture that God does some of God's best work with people who are truly, seriously lost. Abraham and Sarah, in old age, willingly set off for a strange land, equipped with nothing but a promise. Their descendants, rescued from slavery in Egypt, needed 40 years in the wilderness to learn the holy art of being lost. The prophet Elijah, lost, despairing in the desert, heard the still small voice of God. And Jesus of Nazareth spent 40 days in the wilderness preparing for his ministry. And in Celtic tradition, Christian tradition, getting lost was actively encouraged. Peregrinatio meant to leave one's homeland and wander for the love of Christ. And the Celtic saints would set forth in small boats called corrigals without oars or udders or a clear destination, trusting the currents of divine love to take them wherever they needed to be. Getting lost can sometimes lead to new discoveries and serendipitous encounters. But we need to be willing to leave safe paths. Barbara Taylor Brown, in the same book, observed the predictable behaviour of the herd of cows that she shares her land with in rural Georgia, and writes, "With 100 acres at their disposal, the cows had worn narrow paths to their favourite watering holes and shady spots. When they wanted to get from one place to another, they would line up single file and follow the tracks they had made, some of the tracks no more than 8 inches wide." And Barbara Taylor Brown realized that these cattle tracks marked the shortest route from A to B. And she too, she realized, took the shortest route when driving or running errands. Perhaps most of us do. It's efficient. But she decided to override this default behavior by deliberately taking detours. In her words, "Leaving the known path turns out to be a boon to my senses, a remedy for my deadening habit of taking the safest, shortest route. The liberating proof I am still able to leave the thin paths I have worn out with my frugal, fearful hooves. If you do not start choosing to get lost in fairly low-risk ways, how will you manage when one of life's big wins knocks you clean off your course? Literal lostness is a good place to begin, since the skills are the same. Managing your panic, marshalling your resources, taking a good look round to see what this unexpected development might offer you." I'm not a natural wanderer, but perhaps inspired by Barbara Taylor Brown's advice, during lockdown, I would take a walk near my home, the same few streets, but I try to ring the changes, taking a shortcut down an alley, or walking the same route in reverse, or simply slowing down and being mindful. With the right intention, the shortest stroll can become a mini pilgrimage or a shamanic walk where something as simple as a flower growing from a crack in the wall can offer us wisdom for our lives. And some of you will have heard of the not-for-profit venture called Street Wisdom, which offers a secular equivalent of pilgrimage, with the premise that the street is an invisible university if you know how to look. And inspired by this concept, me and my husband Rob have offered our own version a couple of times at FUSE, the Festival of Unitarians in the Southeast. And in Worthing, just before COVID struck, we invited people to wander the streets and seafront, asking them to hold perhaps an intention or a question in mind, something they were puzzled or struggling with, and to be guided by their intuition and just see what unfolded. And I took a stroll myself, and I'd been reading a book about the wisdom of the heart, and I was pondering how this might play out in my life and ministry, moving more from the head to the heart. And having almost got blown over on the beach, I sought shelter in a park. I encountered a friendly squirrel, and then out of the blue, a woman appeared and she offered me a knitted heart. She was part of a church group who were spreading love that day. And after my musings on the heart and my question about the heart, her gift of a heart felt touchingly serendipitous. And on our return, we all shared our stories. And a teacher, pondering if his vacation had been worthwhile, had ambled into a coffee shop. And a woman had come up out the blue, who turned out to be the mother of a former pupil of his. She told him what a positive influence he'd been for her son, and still was years later, that his vacation had been worthwhile. Now the chances of that teacher meeting the mother of an ex-pupil miles from home, hearing a message he needed to hear, is a powerful reminder of how the divine can find us, if we're willing to let go of our fixed agendas. So, in the coming days and weeks, when you feel lost without clear direction, remember the advice of Ferguson the Ranger. Don't panic, stand still, trust that help will come. Remember Bill Bryson, find yourself a traveling companion. You don't have to do it alone. Remember the Celtic saints, let yourself be guided by the currents of love. Remember the words of Joseph Campbell, unless you leave room for serendipity, how can the divine enter in? The beginning of the adventure of finding yourself is to lose your way. We all get lost, but as Barbara Taylor Brown reminds us, others before you have found a way in the wilderness, where there are as many angels as wild beasts, and plenty of other lost people too. All it takes is one of them to find you. All it takes is you to find one of them. However it happens, you could do worse than to kneel down and ask for a blessing. And perhaps even us timid folk can sometimes dare to wander off the beaten track on our literal wanderings, taking the road less travelled by and opening ourselves to the blessings that await. To conclude with words of Moya Kannan. Some of what we love we stumble upon, a purse of gold thrown on the road, a poem, a friend, a great song, and more discloses itself to us, a well among green hazels, a nut thicket, when we are worn out searching for something quite different. Thank you for listening.
So thank you, Sheena, and it's time for our last hymn. We're running a bit long, but we're going to have our hymn and then announcements. It's number 295 in the Grey Book, Sing Out Praises for the Journey. It's not one we sing often, so we are going to ask George just to play it through once for us. It's a lovely tune, and the words will be up on the screen, number 295. please be seated. Thank you, Sheena, for being our guest preacher today. Thanks to Jane for tech hosting, Liz for co-hosting, and she's a last minute stand-in. Thanks to George for our lovely music. Thanks to Juliet, who's already in the kitchen, for greeting. She's going to do the coffee. Thanks for all, for those of you who are here in person, and do stay for a cuppa and a chat and pear and ginger cake after the service. It's served in the hall next door, and if you're joining us online, do hang around if you're able to and chat with Liz. We have various small groups and activities through the week. Just to say very quickly, Heart and Soul is back next Friday. The theme will be Small Acts. Get in touch with Jane if you want to sign up for a Sunday or a Friday. Sonia's NIA class starts back this week. The details are on the back of the order of service. Looking ahead, the in-person poetry group will be back on Wednesday, the 6th of September, and speak to Brian if you want to find out more. Next week we have our Gathering the Water service, and this is a traditional regathering after some of us have been gallivanting off over the summer months. But whether you've been gallivanting or not, do bring some water that you've collected from your trips or holidays or even your kitchen tap, and Jane will be leading that service next week. Details of all our activities are in the Friday email or on the back of our order of service. Do sign up for the Friday email if you haven't already. The congregation very much has a life beyond Sunday mornings. We encourage you to keep in touch, look out for each other, and do what you can to nurture supportive connections. That's everything I have to tell you for now, so we will just have our closing blessing. In company, we make a pilgrimage to places hallowed by our journeying and by our sharing along the road. As paths meet and merge and separate, then meet again, may we be conscious that through space and time we travel in a mighty company, the cavalcade of humankind. The quest is to a fabled goal that few may reach, and yet their vision leads us on through a landscape of wonders. Let us notice these wonders, open up to their message, and maybe by unexpected routes, we will attain to more than we ever dreamed. May it be so, for the greater good of all. Amen.
Thank you.